Have you enjoyed listening to the CrowdPaw Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some CrowdPaw merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to CrowdPaw.org/merch, CrowdPaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your CrowdPaw look.
Your professional development is one of the keys to your career success. When you combine your desire to grow with actionable steps, your journey to success becomes an incredible reality.
Hi, I'm Paul Faranby, aka Incredible Paul, and welcome to Incredible Paul Leadership, where we learn how to become the most incredible versions of ourselves by learning from each other. First off, if you're only listening to this episode, I want you to make sure that you can also watch it on YouTube. But regardless if you're listening or watching the show, I really appreciate your support. Today, I have the honor of having Corey Demel on the show. He's a dynamic and engaging leader who's an expert at growing leaders as a keynote speaker, coach, consultant, and lead pastor at Cape Christian. So that was just a little bit about you, Corey, but how about you introduce yourself the way you would do it?
Thanks. Okay, so my name is Corey, and this is especially fun for me because, as I know, Incredible Paul, you have a lot of great people on this podcast, but not everybody can say that they were your youth pastor.
That is true.
But I get to say that I was your youth pastor. And so, in fact, you're one of the few people that still call me PC from the old days. But Corey Demel, I've been married just shy, almost 20 years. My wife and I are celebrating 20 years here shortly, and I got a 14-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son. So we got a nice 10-year gap. That was not our plan, but we got our miracle bonus baby later in life. I tell people all the time, everyone should have a toddler in their 40s. It's such a trip, and they all laugh at me. Born and raised Central Nebraska. Dad was a small business owner. We were also involved in church a lot, so I got to see just leadership and faith. Kind of always worked together in ministry, and that's kind of charted my path. I now serve as the lead pastor of Cape Christian in Cape Coral, Florida, which is in the Fort Myers area, right on the Gulf on the southwest side. And then on top of that, I do serve in a few different boards, but I'm also I do some coaching and consulting, actually a lot with do some keynote speaking, but with organizational health. I love helping leaders grow, but even the last several years, really leaning to helping the organizational health. I'm actually a certified working genius facilitator with the Table Group, if anybody's familiar with that. And so I love and come alive helping leaders get better and helping organizations be healthy. We all have to work for our lives. So how can we create incredible work environments that are both healthy, fun, and satisfying? And so that's a little bit about me. And I've been, I still consider myself a student, not an expert. I know I got the hours behind me, but I love leadership. And I would just say that on the topic of leadership is just always, it always made sense to me. I went to college to be a coach and a teacher. And even from an early age, just saw how I had good teachers that helped kids get to where they want to go. But even in sports, I had a lot of good coaches. And it just always made sense how I thought it was really compelling to get a group of people to do something together that they wouldn't be able to accomplish alone. Or even in individual sports, coaches play tennis and golf in addition to some of the other sports. And so coaches who could just help you elevate and raise your level. So for me, being coached and coachability is always really important. So love life, love sports. Again, I'm from Nebraska, but now I'm in Florida. And most of my spare time, the little bit I have is I really love my family. I love spending time with my kids. I love my wife. I know, unfortunately, a lot of guys maybe are trying to get away from their family. I'm trying to get more time with them. So that's what I find myself doing. But if I have a free moment of time, you're probably going to catch me on the golf course. I really love golf. It's kind of a good mental getaway for me. And then actually another thing I enjoy cooking because we go into a restaurant and I have found that cooking is a nice mental break where I can achieve something. I'm an Enneagram 3. I can achieve something that's not work related. And so it allows me to take a break from leadership life, or whatever. So, and then just at the church, I've been in the pastor at our church 7 years and I have an incredible team. It's been really fun for me to employ and play with and learn about and grow all the stuff I've been learning about for 20 years. I'll share my leadership journey here in a minute, but building a team, building culture. And so that's kind of where I'm at. So I'm in Orlando this week. My daughter's got some medical stuff. So I'm hanging out in our condo, and I'm super stoked to be with you today.
Yeah, super excited to have you. And thanks for just giving your broad background. A lot of stuff, leadership stuff in your journey. I had no idea you were a working genius facilitator, because that's what Patrick Lencioni, right? He wrote the, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I worked with them. I know some of his team. In fact, a lot of the, when I've been doing more contracts with companies to help them with organizational health. And actually all I do is 90% of what I walk them through is his other book, The Advantage. You know, the 6 questions that every organization needs to answer to have the advantage, the organizational advantage. And I work with insurance companies, construction companies, nonprofits, churches, international nonprofits. And no matter what your context is, it's really phenomenal. And truthfully, Paul, that book, The Advantage, is like, we call it our leadership Bible at our church. It is the key, one of the keys to our success. We've had just astronomical growth, small employee turnover, our church has grown exponentially, our budget's grown exponentially, our reach has grown exponentially, our staff has grown exponentially. And I can attribute a ton of it to actually, not just reading, but doing and continuing to do what he says in the book. And so, as part of my leadership journey, he was one of the first guys that I felt like really connected with me as a leader, as a young leader. And I felt like, man, he was speaking my language and gave me permission to even be a little bit high energy, wiry, ADHD. I still remember the first time I heard Patrick on the stage at the Global Leadership Summit. I think it was like 400,000 people that year. And he's in the middle of this keynote speech. And he knows 400,000, 7,000 in the room, it's satellite cap. But, and somebody gets up and walks out in the middle of this. And he's like, hey, where are you going? Was it that bad? And this like lady, they we didn't we were like, oh, I'm just kidding. Like, you know, thought maybe you'd wait to go to the bathroom. And then he's like, What was I saying? And I'm like, okay, that's how my brain is all the time. And I usually shut that down, but I'm like, the fact that he let himself go there, it kind of even felt for it was a profound moment for me where I'm like, there's room for somebody like me in leadership because I am a little more fun. I'm a little high energy. I just think a little bit different, but I really fully embrace who I am, both the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I watched him do that. I'm like, oh, this is cool. So but I love this stuff. To me, Lencioni is a genius. The Table Group, he takes all the complex ideas and gives it to us in something that we can, whether it's The Advantage, The Working Genius, Ideal Team Player, The 5 Dysfunctions of the Team, Death by Meeting. He's giving you a business in a can. And if you can follow it and interpret it, like you're off to the races, in my opinion.
That's really good. I really like how you even described it, because the first time I heard him speak in person, I guess first and only time I heard him speak in person was about 3 or 4 years ago. He was speaking at Live to Lead for John Maxwell conference. Yeah. And then he just like described that being like ADHD. And he's like, yeah, like sometimes I might forget what I'm saying. And I'll just jump right back in. It's like, you guys help me out. But I love how just vulnerable and transparent he is with his leadership. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I lead that way. I'm very open book. I think vulnerability and transparency is so important. And I think it's something actually, Matt, in fact, if I wasn't here, there's an event 10 miles up the road here in Orlando. And I think Patrick's there, John's there. My new friend Jenny Katrin's there, but I'm doing this instead. But I think it's Maxwell who said, people will respect you and follow you through your strengths, but they'll always connect you through your weakness and through your pain. And so for me, pretty much, I speak to 6,000 people weekly. And so any story I tell on myself is almost always a vulnerability, failure, or pain, almost never the wins. Because people, and I'm kind of anti-celebrity culture, at least in the church world. And so I don't want people to think I'm better than I am. I'm like, I want them to understand I am as human as you are. You know, and I have found that over, 20 years of doing it, people, they feel like they connect and relate to me because I get mad in traffic and I sometimes get impatient with my kids and I want to throw my golf clubs into the trees sometimes. And I don't always do those things, but even the fact that I'll tell people that I want to, like, I've kind of decloaked the man of God. And I'm like, I tell my church all the time, I probably shouldn't be a pastor, but like, you guys keep letting me come back. So here I am. I mean, this isn't news to you. I was your youth pastor. So this is I was 45. So, I mean, you remember me at 30. So,
yeah, no, that's, oh man, that's so true. It was like 15, 16 years ago.
15 years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think you have me. I was your youth pastor. I was like 29, 30, 31.
And I'm turning 31 right now. That's crazy to think about.
Yeah. So yeah, when I was your age is when I was your youth pastor.
Yeah, I was speechless like that. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, well, I just made you feel old, so imagine what that... Look at these baggy eyes. This is called Matthew Ferombi. This is called Paul Ferombi.
Oh, my goodness. That's so funny. That's really funny. But, yeah, you definitely modeled that earlier on as a youth pastor, and then even when you were doing other things as in other pastoral roles as well. And even what you're doing right now, because I've been able... like every now and then to, because you guys do a lot of stuff virtually or on Instagram and stuff to see different clips. And I'm like, this is the same PC. Can I say, still call you PC that I remember? That you're the ability you have to connect with people and be true to yourself, but then also be able to say like, this is who I am, but this is also what I'm working towards. I think that's a really good balance.
Thank you for saying that. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody put it that way, but I think that's even what I aspire to be. Is I love connecting with people. I love people. We're made for connection. And I think the only way to do that is truly be yourself. But we all have to resist this urge to like prove ourselves to somebody else. And I think that's where, for me, a big part of my journey is emotional health, security, working through your own hard stuff, doing the deep work on your own. Because again, one of my mentors early on before you ever met me said, when you walk into a room, you got to make a decision. You got to try to convince people in the room that you're the most important, best person in the room, or you can flip that and convince them that they're the most important and best person in the room. Mm-hmm. And one will make you feel good. The other one will impact lives. You know what I mean? And so like, that's kind of one of my driving, like I'm trying to make whoever I'm interacting with feel like the most important person in that interaction. In fact, my resume says add value everywhere. Even if it's just one interaction, I want to lead things better than I found them. And I want to elevate anybody. But again, that requires me taking the focus off of me, who I am, what I do, why you should be impressed with me, you know. And again, I think a lot of well-meaning people do that, just trying to find connections. And I know even in my journey, in my attempt to make a connection, all I was doing was giving a resume and everybody was like, this freaking guy, you know what I mean? And like, nobody wanted to like pass next, you know what I mean? I got a lot of power in asking questions, listening with empathy and interest. And going second, I think, again, I probably just gave you like a three point like leadership talk on connecting.
Yeah, you kind of did.
I've never given that one before. I'm going to rewatch this because that would be one of my leaders lectures for my business.
There you go.
But it's that simple. But here's the thing. People can tell when it's a tactic, and I think they can tell when it's genuine. Like, you know me, you know I genuinely care about people. Well, I had to work out my own stuff where I knew Corey was okay with the ADHD and the OCD and all the, you know, emotional drama and trauma from middle school, high school, and some of the other stuff. I did deep work on that. But so you can't just like fake it. That's not something you can fake it till you make it. You know what I mean? So I think you have to like push through some of the pain in your life and come out on the other side and go, I'm okay. You know, and that's, and you and I both know, I don't know your audience, but that's where our faith comes in, like, to be deeply to be deeply loved by a creator and be aware that you're unbelievably flawed at the exact same time is actually like the most freeing, liberating, powerful thing ever, in my opinion and my experience.
Absolutely. It's definitely a dichotomy. It's like understanding that we are completely flawed, we're sinners, but at the same time we're saved by grace. So it's
crazy loved in the moment. One of my favorite verses, I think it's Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Like, that was revolutionary for me. Like, I always thought I had to bring my best to God, hide my worst, show my trophies and my straight A scorecard, and be like, dude, I loved you when you were a train wreck, you know? And so for me, I think one of the gifts I give people, one of the things that maybe unique about me is I think I'm just way more okay with and in tune with my own humanity, the broken side of it. And I, definitely in our faith movement, but even in the leadership side, you know, because I'm a CEO, you could say I have thousands of clients and I have staff, whatever, like those metrics.
Absolutely.
Know what I mean? But like, I so embrace my humanity, and I have had so many people say, you have made me feel like it's okay for me to embrace mine because you embrace yours. You know what I mean? In fact, I'm a leadership podcast. Can I tell a story?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's for.
I was just doing a coaching thing. I had a contract with an insurance company in my city. They're awesome. They're crushing it. And I did the second year, I did a keynote, and then they hired me this year to do quarterly stuff with their leadership team. But this year that I did keynote, and they had me do a couple of workshops, and I can't remember what it was on, maybe like price tag of leadership or six types of leaders, something like that. Something I stole from somebody else. I tell people all the time, I'm not a creator. I'm Amazon. I find stuff that somebody else built and I just deliver it really, really well.
Yeah, love it.
But I was just talking about, you said, dude, my intro. The other thing I introduce myself, if they don't already in a keynote, is I would go, hey, anybody ever listen to a podcast on like 1.5 or 2x speed? Oh, yeah, I'm like, that's just me on 1x speed. Like me, I'm normal. Like you'll never need to 1.x me. And so, but what I've noticed is almost always when I introduce myself, I'm like, listen, I got a lot of energy. I know I'm a little bit extra, too much for some people. I'll try to slow down if you try to keep up. But I think we can all have a good time and grow together. And dude, I never had this happen. This happened 1 month ago. They had all the employees. There was a gal who raised her hand. She goes, can I just say, like, thank you for saying that because I have anxiety and I'm a huge introvert. And we were in this tiny classroom, dude. It almost felt like a jail cell, like for real. Tiny window up atop, like the doors behind me, like all I had to do is shut the door and they were my prisoners. Like, you know, you and I understand aesthetics. It was what it was. She said, even in your intro, when you came up with your energy and you talked to people, she goes, I thought I was going to have to leave. Like my anxiety started going up. I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy. But the fact that you know that about yourself told me that you know that you, the impact that you have. And now I know I'm okay. Dude, I've never had a moment like that where she was probably on the other side of the extrovert energy spectrum. And all I had to do was let her know, I'm aware of what's going on in me. More importantly, I'm aware of how this could impact the room. And so I'm going to make my best effort to connect with you and still try to be my authentic self, essentially. And so it was real. I'll never forget that moment because I was like, wow. I believe it's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Stephen Covey.
Yeah, Stephen Covey. Yeah, Covey. I was thinking of Spazzera. Stephen Covey, I believe it's in his empathic listening chapter. I think that's he calls that psychological oxygen. And that came into my head. And I felt like that's what I gave her in that moment was psychological oxygen, simply because I was willing to be vulnerable, embrace myself, and more importantly, recognize, I think, the impact that I know I'm a little bit extra for some people. People love my energy on the stage when I keynote, but it's a lot in a classroom. You know what I mean? And so it was, to your point, it's really interesting. And that's a big part. My two leadership, I think probably my two leadership channels, if I'm not doing the organizational leadership, is I really beat the drum on self-awareness and then culture. And so self-awareness is really big because I just think too many of us are so, even if we're working on ourselves, we're so focused on growing and being better that we often are unaware of, first of all, what's going on inside of us. We're not aware of the way who we are impacts the people around us. And I think that's I call self-awareness the secret sauce of leadership, the secret sauce of life. And it's also like one of the most, almost no one has it. I think it's Tasha Yurick. I think it's her, a group just did a study on it and this name of self-awareness. And they surveyed a bunch of CEOs and their teams and you know, one of those foolproof surveys, and 9 out of 10 leaders identified as self-aware. Yeah, exactly. You already got them. Only 5% actually are. Dude, which means, again, I don't know exactly how to math that, but which means basically 85-90% of leaders are walking around convinced that they know themselves and the impact on their teams, and they don't. And then I'll even add a layer to that. Because when I teach this and I say that, and I'm like, and everybody in this room assumes you're a part of the 5% and you're the problem. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because it's true. Like, oh man, that sucks for the other 95%. I'm like, no, you know,
you're so, a part of
anyway, but I love, let me back up to 100,000 feet. Like Lincioni, I can come back. Whatever squirrel I chased, I can come back. I love leadership because I love the idea of bringing the best out of people. I love the idea of helping things grow, be successful. And I love, again, like I said, getting a group of people like, what could you do together that we could do? You know, this last weekend, we didn't even have church services. We normally have 6 every weekend. And we shut them all down and we did our serve day. We had 2,000 volunteers go out in our community and we did the math. And I think we gave 5 years worth of work for one employee in one weekend. Nobody did, no, like outside of the team leads, nobody had to do more than like 3 or 4 hours of work. So again, my whole point, wow, of like, look what we could do if everybody just does their part. You know, what can we accomplish together? So I think that's true in business, life, sports, families, nonprofit, you know, all the stuff. So anyway, I have been a fan and a hyper student of leadership as long as I can remember.
But that's really good.
Like, I know, even I just threw what a you, lot at you.
Yeah, I know you did, but even just the last part about everyone just doing their part and the self-awareness piece, I like how you said it's a secret sauce.
It is.
Just a secret sauce of leadership or secret sauce of what?
Yeah, well, I call it the secret sauce of leadership, but it's even the secret sauce of life. But really, yeah. I'll say I have a talk called The Secret Sauce of Leadership. In fact, I always intro like, you know, when we were kids, you know, like you could have one superpower, what could you have? You know, I always talk about that and we would argue about, you know, being invisible, flying, you know, reading people's minds. And I basically, it's a leadership superpower. So there is one superpower in leadership that escapes almost everybody. And if you have it, you're a breath of fresh air to your team. You're going to have people that want to work for you. You're going to want to, you know, you're going to get invited on teams, and it's self-awareness. And I talk about the parable of Hans Christian Andersen, the emperor's new clothes. You know that one. You know, nobody had the guts to tell them the truth. Most of us have created those work environments. We don't get feedback.
Again, psychological safety.
Yeah. Who's the gal who talks about all the feedback research is fascinating. She's spoken at the Global Leadership Summit a few times.
Yeah, I don't remember her name.
But it's the perfect picture of leadership. A bunch of kings that are running around naked, emotionally, psychologically, leadership-wise, and nobody has the guts, but they've been tricked into like, oh, these new beautiful clothes, and nobody has the guts or permission to tell them, like, and so, it's, you know, in the parable, the little kid is like, he's naked, and we're like, shh, we don't tell him, and he's like, what? And I just think, I mean, that is like so profound for the world, I mean, yeah, we live in. And then another thing, so anyway, so I think this, the secret sauce, and really, I think part of the reason we have a deficit in self-awareness is you can read books about it, you can get information, but the only real way you can grow in self-awareness is feedback. And so we have a culture in our organization of fearless feedback. You will never be punished for feedback, no matter which direction it is, up and down the org chart. And so because we always say that none of us are as smart as all of us, none of us are as good as all of us. And so if there's something I'm doing that is getting in the way of us helping more people, I need to know it. Or if I'm not doing that, I could be doing, you know, so. And again, my upbringing before you knew me in my early years of leadership was, whether it was sports, but then even when I came to the internship where we met in Omaha, I had a mentor who was just fearless feedback, like constantly, but it wasn't like berating. He saw what the good that was in me. And I mean, between Mike and Cook, dude, the amount of conversations I had in 14 years, like, you know what your problem is? I'm like, let's just have the list. But I welcomed it. Because they were never mad at me. They were probably irritated a little bit, but their agenda was only to help me be better so that I can impact more people. So I was always willing to receive it. You know what I mean? And so I feel like I've outkicked my coverage in leadership. I have exceeded what I think kind of my profile, small kid from a farm town in Nebraska, no one's ever heard of, with probably some ADHD, a little bit of OCP, you know, I just love getting feedback. I'm like, man, I want to get better. And I mean, I've had guys speak and I'm like, I'll take you to lunch if I can just ask you some questions. And I'm not going to tell you about me. I just like, what am I doing? How can I, you know, again, I won't care. I can say a lot of things. I won't. I'm always enamored when you go to these leadership conferences, everybody stands in line. And I don't get it. I'm so different. But I want to tell you about me. Like John Maxwell, for example, I was just at an event like this. It's like, I want to tell you about me and then I want to take a picture with you. I'm like, that's dumb. Who cares? Like, John cares, but I'm like, if I get in that line, I better have three great questions that he can help. I'm like, hey, so here's my context super fast. What would you do in this situation? Like, I'm that guy. I respect John like crazy, like, and all the people in that world, but the picture doesn't mean as much to me. Like, I have access to that question. And so I'm the guy standing in the back line once everybody gets their picture taken. I'm like, I have a real question. Help me. You know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
But again, that's as an athlete, I was wannabe athlete, whatever. I was so undersized. I had to get coached the hardest just to like, I'd have better form, better technique, work harder just to like level the playing field for boys who were, you know, had grown into their bodies. And so I think for me, coaching, like being coached up was a necessity just to like level the playing field in every arena in my life. And I think now I'm 45 years into that. Does that make sense?
Are you wondering what's next? Has everything you tried failed? Or maybe you just feel stuck? Then coaching may be right for you. The coaching relationship is a relationship totally centered on you. So what are you waiting for? Go to incredipaul.org/coaching so I can help you become the most incredible version of yourself. Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. Even what you were saying about, because Unfortunately,
my point is feedback is the only way you can grow in self-awareness.
Yes, feedback is definitely the only way you can grow. But even the fact that when people are coming to hear someone like John or Patrick speak, and they're trying to talk about themselves, I always think it's kind of funny. It's just like you have an opportunity to talk to someone who's had so much experiences, has been in rooms with people that you would only dream of being in a room with.
Yes.
And you're talking about yourself instead of trying to ask a question. Because I remember, because I did have the opportunity to talk with John briefly before he went on stage for like a smaller event. But I was just thanking him for all the stuff that he had done, like all his books and things. And then he asked me my name. I was like, my name is not, I didn't say it, but I was saying my name is not important. I just want to say thank you for everything that you've done.
It's funny you say that. I had the same exact interaction last year at an event in Oklahoma City, actually at Craig Rochelle's church with Erwin McManus. There was a line of people. Dude, this is a, I love that we can talk about this. There was a line of people, and Erwin's amazing. I could not be more different than him. He's so, such a creative genius. And, you know, he coaches like high level Hollywood business and celebrities and make films, but he was speaking and he was rolling out his seven frequencies of communication stuff, which is brilliant, by the way. But there was this line afterwards, and it was in the back of the room, and we were about to start the next session. I had to go to the bathroom, but to go to the bathroom, I had to go around the line. Well, it just came time, and I was walking by him just as the last guy was walking away, and our eyes, we made eye contact with that, are you in line? And I'm like, I think you're awesome, but I'm not in line to tell you about me or take a picture. Like, I was the only one, you know what I mean? But I got to look at him, and I just said, I said, it was like that one, but we're both fine. There's only 250 guys there. So I said, hey, listen, man, like I'm a lot different than you, but just thank you because you are an absolute gift to leadership, to the body, the kingdom. And you've just given so many of my team, including myself, permission to be me. And, same thing. I didn't. But I think then he's like, hey, are you a lead pastor? He did the same thing that happened. He was a lead pastor. He actually said something. Really, he goes, you're not like anybody else in this room. I go, well, thank you for saying that. Because he's really, that's his radar. I'm like, I feel that most places. I do. I mean, every time I go to those events, I mean, these guys they're all a big deal. And you know me, man. I'm like, I feel like they're all looking at me going, like, who let the youth pastor in the room? Or who let the intern to the C-suite event? You know what I mean? Or why? How'd this guy get in the green room? Like, what? Aren't you supposed to be like replacing our meat and cheese tray or something? I'm like, well, they're going to let me say a few words. I don't know. You know what I mean? But again, that's also one of my values. I hold humility and high value as well. So to that point. But I had a similar experience you did of like blocking eyes with, and I wasn't gonna be like, hey, Erwin, let me tell you about my family and my church in Florida. I'm like, man, you're such a gift. Like, you're just such a gift. Thank you for everything and the hard work that you've done to pave a way for us. And so, but at least I had something to say. But yeah, to your point, he's like, yeah, same thing. He's like, what's your name? I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. It's really funny. And like, just the heart you have for people too. And I'll tell you a quick story, like between us. Because you might not remember this, but I remember this because this definitely stuck with me. I think I was either like 17 or 18. So it was a while ago. Like, I think I came up to get prayed about for something. And I remember you telling me specifically you don't always see things the way everyone else sees things. Just like from my background of being Nigerian, but raised in America and all these different things. And I think you just encouraged me not to try to fit in with everyone else.
I vividly remember this. I remember what side of the stage we were standing on, the left side of the stage. I absolutely remember this.
Okay, you do remember this. Yeah.
Yes. So I'm not pretending. I don't remember a lot of them, but because a thing in me, I kind of feel like I wrestled through. I saw in you like, you're not supposed to be like everyone else. And I just kind of saw you wrestling with that.
I was.
And you were learning quick how to fit in. Not even in a bad way, but I'm like, bro, don't lose. Like, it wasn't an accident. You were born in Nigeria, but grew up here. You have a worldview that's going to be a gift to us that you'll lose if you just. So I vividly remember that conversation.
Okay, wow. I didn't think you would. But I remember you told me that, and that just gave me so much peace because I was, like, really wrestling with it. I've come back to that moment a few different times, like, believe it or not. Because like sometimes I'm like, okay, like I feel like, because I don't see like pretty much anything the same way as anyone else. Like I can like, and I know it's just a gift from God. Like most times when there's arguments or different things happening, I can see things from both perspectives, whether or not yes. I agree with either perspective, but I can usually see it and I understand why people are doing what they're doing, even though if I don't understand it. So, and I think that's helped me a lot in my leadership through different things I've done, whether it's been in the church world and serving, or like in what I do as an engineer or what I do in the STEM world. And like, honestly, just on the podcast, I want to say thank you for just to say that, because when you say stuff like that, you don't always know how it's going to land or how the person's going to receive it. But just the boldness to say it, that it stuck with me like 15 years later.
Dude, that's super. I can't even tell you how meaningful that is. Yeah, that's that. I mean, I think that's the hairs are sticking on my arms. Like, this is why, I think everybody's dream is to make an imprint on somebody. They come back 10 or 15 or 20 years later and go, hey, when you did that thing or said that thing or coached me, like, man, that's cool. No, I very much remember that. I could, for all your podcasters, I can tell you, like, Paul came in, this like beautiful smile, and he was like this. I mean, we were a very diverse community. We were almost half black, half white, right? A little bit more white, but probably 60% white, 30%, but it was very diverse.
Yeah.
Paul came in with them white teeth, and he had muscles at like 16. Like, I'm talking real muscles. And he was quiet, but like confident and nice. And all the girls are like, who is this new dude? And so I'm like, all right. As a youth pastor, I'm like, we'll just see how this thing plays out. Because I knew enough about you. You need to go to your dinner. And I knew about your family. I'm like, girl, like, you ain't playing your game. Like, good luck with that. I just don't try. But you're like, same thing, though. You always make people feel so important. But 16, 17-year-old us, someone was like, I like that. And so it was. I remember watching that. But I'm like, man, this guy's like, but even before we ever had that conversation, like, you always stayed true to who you were. That's what always stuck out to me. I'm like, this guy's going to be remarkable. You're always smart. Your whole family's smart. I knew you guys were really good. But I just, even like your character, I'm like, you stayed true to who you were. And so that was it. But I do remember, like, when you guys came around, like, brother was a creative one, but like, all the, ooh, the like safe, protective, quiet, black superhero. You know what I mean? And you weren't like, all the other guys in the group, they were all like, what, captain of football? Like, they were all state track and whatever. You weren't like Mr. Known Athlete in the, in the community. But you, like, I can say it, like, you walked a little bigger than all them fools. Like, and it was just fun. As a 30-year-old youth pastor, it was fun for me to watch that dynamic.
Yeah.
There were a couple hundred of you guys in a room every week. And, there were a lot of you, but I knew all of you guys. And so
you knew all of us.
But I remember that was behind. That's why I remember that conversation, because that was what was behind, like, not watching you slip, but just going like, man, like, how do I wanted to, like, I felt like God's like word for you was like, I want you to succeed in America and succeed in your context, but don't feel bad or apologize for not being a part of or understanding some things that, and again, the older you get, I think people who have unique lens are the ones that end up having something to offer the world that, like, man, we never thought of that. You know what I mean? So. That's cool. That's super meaningful, man. Like, that's a great gift you gave me today. Thank you.
No, absolutely. Like, you've given so many gifts to people across the years. And what I've been realizing is that you don't always, there's impacts you make, but people don't always have the opportunity to tell you what happened. Because it's happened to me, like, over the last couple of years, like, just from podcasting or, like, people I would just meet up with, like, they're saying, like, oh, this happened. And then, like, either this made me laugh or what you said kept me going. I'm like, wow. Like, I was just like, I know one of the gifts God has given me is a gift of encouragement. And then the last couple of years, I've been focusing and honed in on it, been more intentional about it. Because before, it was just something that happened, but I've been more intentional about it. And it's just given me more joy. Like, even with the podcast, is like my whole goal behind it. Like, yes, I could get really, because people always ask me, it's like, is this your end goal? Like, you want to be a podcaster? I'm like, honestly, even last year, there are times I thought about stopping podcasting. Because, like, I'll get to 100 episodes, I'll be good. But then what I realized is that I really enjoy, and like, I honestly, because we're both people of faith, like, I really, what God told me is that this is, I want you to focus on this, because I have dreams and aspirations to do more stuff in speaking, because I want to travel and be in different places. And with podcasts, you can do it anywhere.
Absolutely.
But God's been telling me, I want you to focus on this. And I realized I enjoy it because I really enjoy connecting with people, and especially with the guests. Because I think it's the same thing with coaching that you've probably seen too, is a lot of times people don't have a space where they actually feel seen and heard for like a set amount of time, especially these larger people, or like people do a lot of things. They're always serving and doing it for others. And it's my opportunity to do it for them. And at the same time, I'm gaining a lot of information and knowledge and building that connection. So it's been really cool.
That's so good, man. Yeah, in fact, God's given me a big part of, I think, his heart for people that are part of my why for leadership is, I think the idea that everybody wants something from you. Everybody's pulling. You're always giving. I'm like, man, who's giving back to you? You know, I get to mentor a couple professional athletes and again, I don't want to pay for dinner. I don't ask for sign. We don't do pictures. We don't sign anything. I'm like, listen, in your whole life, you got people pulling and giving. Same with leaders. I'm like, man, I want you to feel like a safe space, seen, cared about. And so I do it. It's a lot when you feel like you're always having to deliver for other people. And so that's really, really cool. And I'll say this too. Let me just encourage you again. Let me run it back 14 years later. Since we're due. I do think you have, because of the unique perspective you have something to say to a world that you see stuff we don't see. And this is a great way to do that. But you're also honing your skills on whatever, like what I've realized, we'll bring the faith into it. I think that's appropriate on this podcast.
Absolutely.
Is that God never wastes a season or a preparation time. That often we're in a season of something where we're doing something, we're loving it, and it's adding value. But what we don't see is also building something that can be used and leveraged, you know, later on. You know, for me, it was even just serving faithfully. You get to do some stuff, and it's like, I just served faithfully. It was never like be a part of this or that or get to stand on this stage. But when I was 22, I said I would never say no to a speaking opportunity. So I'm like, hey, dude, yeah. I mean, bro, I was smoking the cowboy stuff, and I mean, you name it, small room, and it's just why. Because I'm like, I don't, and here's the thing. I'm not one, this is probably going to sound crazy. I don't even know if you know this about me. You probably don't. I'm probably the only communicator you're ever going to have on your podcast. I don't even love communicating. Like, I don't love the stage. I don't live for it. I could never stand on a stage again and be fine. I love elevating leaders and adding value to people, and that's a way to do it. So because of that, it's a skill I've honed, but I'm like the only guy in my, and dude, I preach for a living. I mean, I preach.
Yeah, literally.
A ton. I get thousands of people every week, whatever.
Yeah, literally.
But like, I'm the only guy I know that I'm like, man, I love it. I'm built to do this. I'm like, I have to do it. This is part of my job. You know what I mean? Like, I love leadership. So I've had to like grow my communication. But I say all that to say, I'm not some guy like, I'm going to be the best communicator. I'm like, I love great communicators, you know, like some of my friends, and just watching them go. And you know, whether professors at universities or they're speaking now at GLS, and I'm like, that's awesome. You know what I mean? I'm like, if I ever had that opportunity, I would jump at it because of the value I could. I'm big on like the ripple effect. You know what I mean? But I don't like, I hear people talk about like loving putting content together. I'm like, I like delivering. I like, I value. So it's this weird space to be in where all my pastor friends, I'm like, I could never preach again. Like, just hire a teaching pastor and I'll leave the organization. Do it. I would die inside. I'm like, I would not. I'll do it. And I think I've gotten better at it. I mean, I'm down a lot of reps and put in a lot of work, but study the best. Because I think if you're going to do it, you should be good at it. But it doesn't make me come alive. It does make me come alive. I love connecting with people. So when I get on that stage, I can feel the room. And I think even at a large stage, I make it feel pretty like we're all connected. That's fun for me. Dude, COVID was the worst. Just talking to a camera.
Yeah.
Like that. Because my communication is best live, I think, by far. What I think is, I don't think my content's amazing. So anybody can get behind a camera and give you at least as good a content as I have. But I don't think everybody can get on a stage and make you feel what you feel when I'm in the room. That's what I love.
Oh, so, yeah. Absolutely.
You would agree with that. You
absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
But you take the people out of the room and now there's a camera. I'm like, what are we doing?
It's tough.
No, it's just another thing that's weird about me.
Yeah, no, it's definitely unique. I wouldn't say it's weird, but it's something that makes you special. I think that's why you connect so well with people, because it's a natural thing. Because you can tell, I'm sure you've seen it too, when someone's trying to connect with someone, but they just
strange.
Yeah, it's really, it's like, okay, It's like, you don't even believe what you're saying, but you think that that's what they want to hear. And it's like,
well, you heard somebody do something like this and you thought it was a good idea, and this is not the time or place for that.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. You're not being yourself.
I have part of me that like get off the stage, and part of me like, I just want to go rescue you right now. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So, but it's funny because we do run throughs on Friday. We run through a whole service because we do so many of them. And one weekend we were working on some transition. It was like between the bumper that came out and I went out, you know, nothing crazy. And I was supposed to like just pretend my intro, kind of like we do on, you know, podcasts. Like, let's talk from intro, it works, you know. And I walk out on stage and I have my team there and I go, well, hello, everybody. Let's just all have a connection. And everybody, all my team fell out of their seats because they're like, that's exactly what you do every week. Like, you're not coming with like, you're going to teach the Bible. So I want you to think, I want you to cry. I want you to like, and I want to give you something practical to apply. But like, really, like my intro every week is like, let's just connect. You know what I mean? And so I just, the fact that I put it into words, they all literally like, they were crying because they were like,
that's so funny.
I think I gave them like 5 years. They're like, that's what he does every time. That's what I do in staff meeting. It's what I do in our team chapels. It's what I do, you know? So cause I just love to connect with people. So
that's super cool.
I'll give you, if you want, I'll give you the 60 seconds of my leadership journey. And then I don't know how much time you have left.
Do it. So again, it can take longer than 60 seconds.
Okay. Dad was a business owner and again, got involved in church. So I saw those work together. And leadership was always something that I was drawn to, but didn't even know how to contextualize. And so, you know, I was a peer mentor in high school for middle schoolers. I was a class treasurer, whatever. You know, but I was the leader in my youth group, and always being an example and impacting people always appealed to me. But like on a deep level, like people would talk about that stuff. And I felt like everybody was kind of like, nah, whatever. I'm like, no, this is the most important thing. Like even at like 14 or 15, you know what I mean? So I was always drawn to it. We didn't have, at least my college, when I was in school, we didn't have a lot of, I'm sure we had some leadership degrees, but organizational leadership. It wasn't like it is now. You know what I mean? But I went to education coaching because I wanted to, again, lead and impact. But honestly, man, when I was 22 was the first year, 22 or 23, I think it was 22, was the first year I went to the Global Leadership Summit. For your audience that doesn't know, started in Willow Creek Church out of Willow Creek, Chicago. And about the time the online movement came, and so quickly became a national, now it's a global movement. And so honestly, man, like that one event, truly, I've been doing some kind of process. Like that one event really became the catalyst for my journey. That was 22, 23 years ago. I think this August will be my 22nd one. So I must have been 23. But this, that they bring the best of the best out. I mean, you're talking Patrick Lencioni, John Maxwell, Horst Schultze. I mean, Peter Drucker, you know, you name it. Like all the people that will read, all the guys that are reading all the books that are behind Simon Sinek, all the guys that are behind you and me, Jim Collins, I see Good to Great behind you. I mean, And that was where like, I just like fell in love, man. I'm like, this was like music to my soul. I've taken so many, I have 22 years worth of notes. I take more notes every year at that thing. And not only just take it, but like, I go over them. I've made the discipline of continuing to revisit them and try to apply them over the years. But truthfully, 22 years ago, I'm like, this is just awesome. Again, it's a 2-day event. But then I just started like reading their books and then following them and then read who they said to read and listen to who they had on their podcast. And it's really interesting because again, I'm in my mid 40s now. I don't know that I've ever done anything truly incredible or remarkable as a leader, but I think my life is a picture of what happens if you just apply a little bit of it for 22 years, like weekly, daily. You know what I mean? I don't do anything amazing. I've never been on some journey where I went to the top of Everest and came back and had an epiphany. And like, but I just try to like be in a book, be in a podcast. I go to those events and God's put me in rooms with some of those people and gotten rubbed shoulders with some of them. And so again, like that, I can't say enough about the Global Leadership Summit because again, that 2-day event, and that was even the catalyst for our leaders launch. I thought, man, we should do something like this on a small scale once a month. So now I'm about 100, 150 business leaders every month that come to my church. A lunch, one talk, and then, but we always do table talk where you can apply it. And it's the whole idea, like, what are you going to do to get a little bit better personally and professionally each month? And so, like just finding something that applied it and I've just really been really grateful for that event. And there's others too. And I went to other things, but that one event was always the one I got the most excited about. I took a ton of notes. And even when they would come on the stage, I, even as a young leader, I don't know that I knew how to internalize or articulate it, but I would always think to myself, like, I want to do that someday. And I think maybe in my early 20s, like, I want to speak on a stage like this. But I think what I meant now, and I still would, I don't need it, but I think what it is, like, I want to have added some sort of value or contributed to the leadership world or society in such a way that I would have something to contribute that impacts people like this. But that's what I would say now that I didn't know how to say then. And so,
yeah,
you know, again, so it's literally just kind of been this like spiderweb flowchart of, I went to this event, followed these guys, you know, keep reading their stuff. And I've gotten to know a couple of them, and, you know, there've been rooms of them. My friends have spoken there, but anybody that, you know, whether it's STEM leadership, you know, next generation leaders, I'll close with kind of my shameless plugs. I think most of your audience is just a little bit younger than me, which is typically kind of my whole life. I've actually been like a trailblazer for your generation. I'm the back end of Gen X. And so my whole life I can chart out where, like, I've kind of gone ahead and like built enough relationship with you guys. I'm like, guys, it's good. Come on. I'm like, well, yeah. Corey says, you know, kind of the Paul Revere. Like, hey, yeah, the Redcoats are coming, you know? So I say that because I don't know if you know, the week before, another guy named Dawes made the same ride with the same message, that the Redcoats were coming. But nobody moved and nobody believed him because he didn't have the trust, connection, and credibility that Paul Revere did in all the same communities. It's a fascinating principle.
Did not know that.
The Paul Revere principle. So I learned that from Tim Elmore. Here's what I really encourage companies with, and especially young leaders. We're in a unique time in history. You got to know where you're at in the timeline. For most of the history of the world, there has been an information deficit. Or often what kept us from getting better is we just didn't have the right information. We didn't have access to it. We didn't know what we didn't know, you know, all that stuff. The internet has completely changed that in my lifetime, really your lifetime. And I feel like for the first time in my life, what we're seeing is, and this is just encouraging your listeners, that for the first time, we have an abundance of information, so much we don't even know what's true, what's right. But now we have so much information, we don't actually have an information deficit. We have an execution deficit and an interpretation deficit. And I would just say, like, even for us, one of the keys to our success, I think, in my life and even in our church is we've just stuck to the plan that we know works. And we're fanatical about execution. We're not just chasing the next new sexy concept or workout plan or whatever. You know what I mean? And I'm all for continued learning. I made that clear. But, I got even young leaders that are like, the next thing, and I said this multiple times to my team and other people, like, man, if you could execute a tenth of what you knew, you would have already been past everyone else. You don't need another book. You need somebody to teach you how to apply this in your life. You need some discipline. I think the book, like, Disciplines of Execution is one I love. But anyway, anytime I have an opportunity to encourage anybody, like, man, how many times is it perhaps I need not to learn or know something new, but I need to apply or implement something that I've already forgotten or that I'm not doing? You know what I mean? And so I'm really passionate in helping companies and leaders with, again, that's what I love about Patrick Lencioni's Advantage, the book, The Advantage. I've heard him say it from the stage. The first time I heard him, when he rolled out the book at the GLS, he goes, well, we've been consulting Ford and Boeing and all these guys, and it's expensive, 50, 100, 150 grand, whatever. He goes, most of you can't afford that. But you can't, if you want to bring us in for 50 grand, you can. He goes, or we've noticed that we're asking the same six questions everywhere we go. And so I put them in the book. And so you can either hire me for like $50,000, or I can send you $49,975. If you can actually do what's in this book, you don't even have to have us in. I put it here for you. And so ever since he said that, I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, man, that's just all we're doing. Like, we rolled it out 7 years ago, and we're still doing what he said to do. Now, that's that book for us. And I know it's not that simple for everybody, but my point is, most of us, it's what leadership leaks, vision drifts. We slip from the stuff that we know we should be doing. And, I want to encourage a young generation of leaders, like, be as fanatical about execution as you are more information. And if you can do that, that's how you pass the test of time, because information's everywhere. Half of it's crap anyway. We got to learn how to interpret it. And more importantly, we got to learn how to execute it. And I think that's also probably something unique to me. I'm kind of fanatically practical. And so I'm like, man, every time we do in our leaders lunches, it's like, what are we going to do? What's something you're going to apply? How are you going to implement this? Not just, you know, inspiration only lasts, like, has like a 3-day shelf life if you don't apply it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 3 days if it's amazing, like 3 minutes if it's even good. You know?
Yeah, it's there. Yeah. It's gone. No, I really like that, being fanatical about the execution piece. And that's something I've been like, the word intentional has been something that's been like my word the last 5 years. Is like, I've tried to be
intentional. That's my word. It is my word.
it is your work. This is like, because there's so many people that have a lot of ideas or dreams or aspirations, but it's like, but what are you doing with those things?
Yes.
What are the steps you're taking? I mean, sometimes, and that's like when I'm talking to people or coaching people, I was like, yeah, you want to do this big thing, but what is the small thing you can do now?
What's the first step?
Yeah, what's the first step? It's like, oh, he's like, I want to write a book someday. It's like, are you writing right now, like at all?
Are you writing for 5 minutes every day, the micro habit?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Or even just like writing as simple as writing posts on LinkedIn or on these, like, are you generating ideas or concepts?
Yep. That's good, man. That's really good. Yes. We don't lack ideas and information. It's just, what are you going to do? And I think we don't do ourselves very many favors with goals because we set these huge, giant, outlandish goals. And we don't really marry the process. But it's like, man, we need to reverse engineer those things and go, I want to write a book someday. Yeah, to your point. You know, I'm gonna lose 60 pounds. But how often go to the gym now? Like, I don't. Okay. So let's 50 pounds, yeah. Good. Like, I'm gonna go for a 7 minute walk 3 times this week. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you're into the micro habits. The micro habits are the new hack, the goals. I just did a talk on this, and I'm like, man, super good. Like just all the, and then you start to stack these micro habits that you become disciplines. But instead of lose 60 pounds, I'm gonna do one body weight squat when I wake up and 5 push-ups before I go to bed. Mm-hmm. You do that, 5 becomes 10. For, you know what I mean? Like all I'm gonna write a book. I'm going to read for 3 minutes before I go to bed, and then I'm going to read for 5, and then I'm going to write for 3, you know. I'm a couple people I'm coaching, they're doing micro habits, and I just went through a six-month thing with a gal, and it's like, she was kind of disappointed. She's like, I didn't do great this month. I'm like, okay, but it's been 6 months. Let's look at what your goals were and where you are. And it was like, oh my gosh. And it's like drinking 8 ounces of water, going for a 1 mile run, nothing crazy, but she's done it most days for 6 months, and it's like all of a sudden you're not where you were. But again, not sexy.
Yeah, it's not. And it works in reverse too when you do the wrong thing.
I feel like it's accelerated in reverse. This is like, man, there goes that 75 hard in 1 weekend of eating and not working out.
Yeah, exactly. Because I have, like, I'll briefly share this because it embodies exactly what you're saying. Because I gained like 30 pounds in a year, like between 2021 to 2022, not a muscle.
It was muscle. Like, I'm always surprised. Nepal, I know you can
I don't know about that.
For the first time in your life, it wasn't that kind of weight. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't. And I didn't realize it because it was like, there's just a bunch of habits I had because I was traveling all the time. Mm-hmm. I wasn't eating as well, all these different things. It wasn't until my doctor's like, you gained like 30 pounds in the last year. I was over 300 pounds. So the first time ever. Yeah. Over 300 pounds. I was like 310. And my doctor's like, you're still healthy, but you should lose some weight. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, all right, I'll go back to things I know I should be doing, like not eating after a certain time, like being more intentional about, like, because I was still working out, but I wasn't like as active outside of the times I was working out, like walking and all those things, 10,000 steps, all the little things you know you should do.
Yeah.
But with travel and everything, I wasn't doing it. So just from implementing those habits, like by the next year I saw a doctor, I lost all the 30 pounds. And then like the following year, I lost an additional like 30 pounds again. So now I weigh like how much I weigh like right out of college. So I'm back 250 right now. Since last year, like I lost all the weight, and like I feel like I have as much energy as I did right outside of college, even though I'm like 30, gonna be 31 next month.
That's awesome. Well, and I don't know how many of your people know you that watch you, but when most people go, oh, he's 250, like that's a big, like, you're like, oh, he's probably weight. If you've ever seen Paul stand up and walk around, like that 250, you just wear 250 different, like, because you're just so lean and cut, dude. Like, your frame is so, you just carry so much stinking muscle. Congratulations. Good for you. Good job, Bob. it's crazy to me that you're 250, because if you were to ask me, what were you when you graduated college? You're a bigger dude, 220, 230.
Yeah.
250 makes sense. I mean, and again, that is not healthy for most people, but holy smokes. Hey, 60 pounds in 2 years, man, that's a big deal. And to your point, like, I'm guessing it wasn't some crazy CrossFit 75 hard, tough mudder, Spartan rate. It was the 2 years of like micro habit consistency, wasn't it?
Exactly what it was. Because people started to notice, like, after like six, seven months, it's like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's just stuff I've been doing every day. It's not like all of a sudden crash dieting. Because I'm like,
good for you. Yeah, because whatever you do has to be sustainable if you want it to have long term effects. So that's awesome. That makes me happy for you, dude.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, most people don't believe on 250 when I tell them. They always guess like 220, 230.
I'm behind the camera. I'm like, what? I'm like, because you stand up like, man, that guy's, yeah. But it makes, because how tall are you? 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'4".
Yeah, I'm a 5'11". If I get 250, if you see a 2 in front of anything, I'd be like, I'm in trouble.
You're good. Well, we're almost at an hour, and I feel like we could easily go like an hour more.
Let's do all your listeners a favor and call it a day.
I would just have to have you come back at some point.
Done.
But is there anything we haven't talked about yet, either about you or your story or just like leadership that you want to impart to the listeners?
No, I've already said it. I would say this. I'm just, the reason I jumped, I mean, I love you. I've loved you a long time. Love your family. I love that you're doing this. But any chance I have an opportunity, so it's just, even one person, one leader add value. I can think of 3 things real quick, but I want to jump on that opportunity. My life is literally about adding value to other people. And so you already said that, but I'll say 3 things. Whatever your job is, whatever your season of life is, if you shift your focus a little bit to just this one question, wherever I find myself today, how can I add value to somebody wherever I go? It does 2 things. It helps you live intentional, but more importantly, it actually gives every interaction and moment purpose. Now, all of a sudden, when you get gas, go to the grocery store, have a business meeting lunch. Like, I'm always looking to add value to people who kind of look overseen and overlooked in society, you know, gas station attendants, janitors, that type of stuff. And so again, like if all of us would just go into every interaction, like I'm going to Sam's today, I'm going to encourage some mom who's loving on her daughter, or I'm going to find some little girl who's 6 years old, like, man, your dress looks so pretty. Or I'm going to thank the person who's skin, like, hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for what you do. Appreciate it. You know, how many people go through their whole day and don't feel ever seen, acknowledged, or even appreciated, and even if it is their job? So that's number one. I said, man, that's been the game changer for me. Every interaction, every moment has purpose. When you just start to get your eyes off yourself and go, who can I add value to today? That's one of my favorite talks I have, 5 ways to add value. I think about ways, I look for ways I do it, and then I teach other people. In fact, I used to have the discipline. I go through my calendar every day, and I look at, like, what's coming that I might be able to add value, whether it's a meeting, an interaction, or whatever. And then number 2, again, I'll just prime that pump. You owe it to everybody in your life, but most importantly, your own self and your own soul. The greatest gift you can give yourself, your leadership, and the people in your circle is the gift of self-awareness. So be a student of yourself. Have the courage to look at all the dark, ugly warts of your soul, your personality, embrace them. And whether it's faith or counseling or friendship, find somewhere where you can have a safe space to be a broken human, because you are. We all are. That's found from a pastor. So there you go. But that self, the ability to like and love yourself is one of the most liberating things you'll ever experience. And it's really hard to add value to other people if you don't like you. And I think you need to know what gifts you bring to the table in your work and in your marriage and your home, what's unique about you. And then the more you're okay with who you are, you can become more okay with who you aren't. Which really helps you to celebrate other people around you that are good at things you aren't. And that makes you a great team player. By the way, being a team player is job security the rest of your life. That's a whole other talk we could do.
Yeah.
It's job security. Everybody's looking for team player. And then the third one is just in a day of information, how am I doing at execution? That's a question. In a day of increased information, how am I doing at implementation? It could be health, it could be faith, it could be job. If your job doesn't have development or help you get better, go outside of it and get better on your own. Not just for a raise. You need a better why than that, but to better yourself. And you also never know what opportunities that creates for you. So I think doing those things, I'm trying to, as I get a little bit older, I'm trying to take a page out of Lynchioni's life and go, how can I kind of simplify some of the most complex things? Because that's, when I went to college to be a math and science teacher, I did have a gift. And you've heard me teach the Bible. Like, I make a really confusing book, I think, pretty simple and understandable.
Yeah, you do.
And I like to, you know, again, it's my wiring, but leadership's the same way, like life, like, man, here's a few things. And so those would be the kind of the 3 things. And then we have, you know, we have a church code, and we have a team code, we have all that stuff, but I can give you I'll leave you with my big three things. I think these are my keys to success. This is the ethos of me. Work hard, do the right thing, and don't mistreat people. If you can do those three things, work hard, do the right thing. And listen, I know some of you are like, well, that's kind of subjective. It's not. If you start to break it down, it's usually not that subjective.
Yeah.
And then don't mistreat people. Or if you don't want to make it negative, just treat people well. If you can work hard, do the right thing, and treat people well, if we could all do that, we could kind of flip our divisive, toxic society on its head and maybe just make our living space, workspace, and our world a little bit better place. So, dude, wow. Thanks for having me on this.
No, absolutely. You shared so much knowledge, so many gems. Even with the last one you shared, work hard, do the right thing, treat people well. And even we spent a lot of time talking about self-awareness, even understanding like those of us listening right now, like myself included, like we think we're more self-aware than we actually are. So it's a constant thing. Like you, even if you are self-aware, it's a constant process to remind yourself to be in the moment because you can slip and forget something. So I really appreciate that. I want to make sure people know how to stay connected with you, though.
Yeah. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Corey Demmel, just my first and last name, CoreyDemmel. I'll give you a heads up. I have a social media team that runs most of my stuff. And so most of it's going to be geared at our church. My church is Cape Christian, capechristian.com. If you want to, we have a very lively, interactive online presence for hosts. If you want to check out what we do on there online, capechristian.com. We do a lot of great stuff. And then, I think my email is on the website, cdemmel@capechristian.com. And again, if anybody's looking for some coaching consulting, yeah, I'm not promoting it, but that's, I'm working on a
you
website.
Should
I'm not
promoting it.
It's just like a thing. Well, okay. But it's just a side thing I do that is usually kind of a word of mouth or, you know, people yeah. helps up other people. I'm building out the website right now. So I have the LLC. I worked with quite a few people even just this month, but I don't have like a whatever, but you can catch most of our stuff on YouTube as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I love to connect. I do peek into the Instagram the most. I'm in South Florida, so they love themselves on Facebook down there. I know the age of the people I'm talking to. So I have to be very active on Facebook, but again, I have my team run that.
Yeah.
But I love connecting and adding value. So if you're out here listening, I love to connect. I love to even hear something that maybe you're like, man, that's something I want to apply or implement in my life. But man, Paul, I just want to commend you. Keep up the good work, dude. Like I love your heart for building value into others, and thanks for creating this platform. Truly, it's a pleasure to be on here. Even if I didn't know you'd be a pleasure, but it's because of our history. Like the hottest food I've ever eaten was in your mama's kitchen, man. That woman tried to kill us. She warned us. She said this is for the Americans. This is for the Africans. I'm like, I like hot stuff. Bro, my face has never sweated more in my life. So it's fun to be here, not just with another leader, but a friend as well.
Absolutely, with a friend as well.
Because he knows. You know I'm not lying about your mom. You're that
not.
Hot food. Yeah, all,
I'm not. It is so true.
And I like hot food. Like I tell my Black and Hispanic fans, I'm like, don't let the skin color like fool you. Like, where's your man? But the idea, and that was like the only time I've ever been to any of my like any friends I have of other ethnicities where I'm like, nope, too much. I don't know what she puts in that stuff. It's illegal, man. It's and then Daniel and Matthew are just like, oh, give me
more. Yeah, it's like, it's fine. And for my dad, probably didn't think it was hot enough. Most likely.
Your dad was like drinking it like water. Like, there's something wrong with you people.
It's just normal. That's another Sunday for us.
It was another Sunday, man. It was, I'm telling you, I've had ghost peppers. I've been off the charts, but I'm like.
That's really funny. But just turning to the audience, I know you got something from Corey's story. Just the story of embracing who you are and just coming back to this whole idea of self-awareness, understanding who you are, but also being intentional about connecting with others and just continuing to go on this leadership journey. I think it's very clear, like from the different episodes, right? This is the first episode you're tuning into, is that not all leaders look the same. And I think that's the beauty of leadership, is that you can lead from where you are. You can be your unique, authentic self. And you can do that, you can be incredible.
Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. We'll see you here next time. And be incredible. Incredible.
Have you enjoyed listening to the Incredipaw Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some Incredipaw merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to incredipaw.org/merch, credipaul.org/MERCH. Looking forward to seeing your Incredipaul look.